Now, when we talk about blessings, oftentimes it seems so easy to say that. God bless you. Let me tell you something, that's an important concept. The blessings of God is why we're here today. It's why I get up Monday morning or Tuesday morning, the blessings of God. We talked about His mercies being new every day, but let me tell you, He started a long time ago doing the blessing. You're blessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're blessed. You're blessed. And now turn to your neighbor and say, not just for the day only. Not just for the day only. You need to tell that brother. He needs to know that. He needs to know that. You know. Would you just give me on the screen Genesis chapter 27 and verse 29. Genesis 27 verse 29. My God has said a lot of things the centuries of time. They've been recorded, as we know, as the Word of God. One place it says, holy men wrote as they were moved on by the Spirit of God. You know, we need to start remembering some of the things that God has said. Yes, sir. It can change your life. It can change your perspective of life. Genesis 27, verse 29. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother and son, mother's sons bow down to thee. Curse be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. That is a prophetic blessing. That is a prophetic blessing that runs down through the quarters of time. To June the 10th, 1921, it's still in effect. Let that sink in just for a little bit. It's in effect today. Prophetic blessings are in effect today. There is power in the prophetic word of God. There is power. We just sung that the devil is defeated. Now he either is or isn't. You can't shout he's defeated in here this morning and walk out and say, woe is me. Doesn't work that way. You cannot defeat him on Sunday morning and fight him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Same thing with prophetic blessings. Mankind has ever been searching for the mystery ingredient that will guarantee good life. I've been in Florida. I've been to what they call the Fountain of Youth, Spanish explorer Ponce de Leon. He searched when he got word there was something that was there to keep him sustained for life. It would make him like forever young, the Fountain of Youth. He didn't find it, of course, and crusaders in the Middle Ages killed and conquered, multiplied thousands in the mindless pursuit of the golden chalice. If you just get that golden chalice, miracles will happen. If you can find that chalice that Jesus had drank from in the upper room with the disciples, it would guarantee eternal life. So far, they haven't found it. Citizens of the 21st century are spending time and their own personal treasures crisscrossing the planet in jet planes, ocean liners, motorized vehicle known to man, trying to find a mystical Shangri-La. There is no mystical Shangri-La. It's not in some mountain, not some part of Eastern Asia, not in some Chinese mountain somewhere. There is no city that you can find of Shangri-La. Everybody's looking for that something mystical. That place where that everything is good and pleasurable and no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more tears. The only supernatural ingredient that produces the good life became a reality thousands of years ago, before Jesus of Nazareth was born in Bethlehem of Judea, before he was born in a manger and laid there. It was before Solomon dedicated the second temple and the glory of God came down, where they couldn't worship or minister anymore because the Shekinah glory was so powerful and so awesome in that place. It was reality before David killed Goliath, and because the king of Israel, before there was ever a golden age where man was at peace with his neighbors round about, that supernatural something was introduced in the book of Genesis by God Almighty as he spoke and released the power of a prophetic blessing over the lives of Adam and Eve that would flow down through the centuries of time to right now, this morning, in this place of worship, this building we've come together. And when I'm talking about a prophetic blessing, it is a spoken declaration by a spiritual authority over the life of an individual. The words of the blessings carry the power to control and direct the life of the person over whom those words have been spoken. A prophetic blessing, church, will totally revolutionize your life when you begin to understand the power behind it, and the lives of your children and of your grandchildren, to rise to a higher level of accomplishment, created spiritual and physical and emotional and relational prosperity. The power and preeminence of the prophetic blessing have been, I think, clearly created over the centuries in the scripture that God has left us, as we know, as the Bible, as it is put together in our present form today. Jewish people have obeyed the principles and received the benefits of the blessing. However, its potential has been sadly overlooked by most Christians for over 2,000 years. I'm not preaching some new doctrine this morning. I'm not teaching you something that is not a reality and truth. But the transforming spiritual blessing spoken by spiritual authority has the power to sculpt your life for today, tomorrow, and forever. When God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the first thing he did for this initial get-together of Adam and Eve, in recorded history, it was a blessing. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 28, records these words, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth." He said it at the beginning, at the start of his creation with man and woman. He blessed them to multiply, to have authority, have dominion. It is significant to remember that the first miracle Jesus performed was at a wedding where a man and woman was coming together to be married, and Jesus transformed water to wine. Bestowed their blessings upon them in the union of marriage. This world has certainly forgotten the sacredness of a holy matrimony of a man and woman, as well as the blessing of bearing children within that covenant relationship. Not as strong as it used to be, not as powerful as far as the world is concerned. When two men or two women come together, it's not the way the Bible has described it. It is one man and one woman.
Amen. Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Free.
The next blessing given in the scripture was God's blessing of Abraham, found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This was creating a union of Israel and what became known as the Jewish people. For it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of the country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you a name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." I will tell you today that the blessing of God is not just for them back there, but it's flowed down through the centuries of time to you sitting in this building this morning. You are a blessed people. And the devil cannot take that away from you, because God made sure that he couldn't when he defeated him at the cross of Calvary. Amen. This blessing assuring the creation and establishment of a state of Israel, he theologically established a cornerstone of the greatness of Israel. From Abraham to the 21st century, the fact remains that God, the maker of heaven and earth, created the nation of Israel through the divinely spoken word, and therefore it came to pass. He says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great." The parade of blessings continues. Let me tell you something this morning. You're sitting in this building and the sound of my voice. Blessings have never stopped. They continue to flow. As sooner we wake up to that fact, the more blessed your life will become. You can walk around and say, "I'm a blessed person. I have been blessed of the Lord. He blessed the first man, the first woman, and it still flows down today. I am blessed because I have his name. I am blessed because I have his spirit. I am blessed because he saw me when I was naked and afraid, and he brought me into his presence, and he clothed me with a right mind and a right spirit." Come on, somebody. You are blessed. I said you are blessed. Don't walk around defeated. The devil has been defeated. You're not defeated. When Esau discovered that the blessing of the firstborn had been given to his younger brother, he knelt before his aged father and passionately begged, "Bless me. Bless me also, oh my father." Genesis 27, verse 34. The words of Esau echo across the centuries of time by other sons who have missed out on the greatest earthly gift that their father could give them, his blessings. If you're a father in this house, you need to get your children together and you need to bless them. He said, "I don't live in the Old Testament." Well, neither does God. He's moved up to the New Testament. You need to get your children and say, "I bless you." I had the privilege of reading a letter that my son Craig wrote to his son Camden upon graduation from high school this year. I'm not going to read the letter to you, but I'm telling you, it touched my heart. It touched my wife's heart. Brought us to tears. When a father recognizes that a son is more valuable than anything else in this world, and a daughter is included in that as well, you want them blessed. You want their life to be prosperous. You want their life to be healthy and good. All those things will come along to test everything that seems to be right. The devil may be defeated, but he's always around trying to challenge and try to put in your heart doubt and fear and worry and fret. But you need to tell when worry shows up. I am blessed. You can't sit around here worrying. When fear shows up in your spirit, say, you cannot take up residence in my life because I am blessed. There's a prophetic blessing that's been given to me, and you cannot stay in my house. The words of Esau echoes across the centuries of time. This deep emotional pain of Esau has created family divisions lasting some cases for centuries of time. When people say, I don't bless, when some people say, I don't believe what you preach, I don't believe this message, I can only tell you what I have known to be true. And that it is impossible for God to lie. And what he put in these words are powerful that goes down through centuries of time. If God said it, he will bring it to pass. If he says it and you believe it, all things are possible to them that believe and are the called according to his word. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Scripture records, the word of God records that it was Esau's descendants, the Amalekites, who attacked the children of Israel when they crossed the Red Sea, bound for the freedom and the new home in the Promised Land. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 through 16. Haman in the book of Esther, of Esther in the Old Testament, who plotted to eliminate the Jews of the Persian Empire, was a descendant of Esau. How do you know that? You need to read Esther chapter 3 and verse number 10 tells you that he was a descendant of Esau. People that pull away from God and reject their blessings of God are people who always will try to fight you and resist you and come against you. Esau craved his father's blessings until the day he died, passing on that evil seed of murder and revenge that would have the world covered with blood because of the blessing of his father was denied to him. One of the most vicious people you could ever run into is people who want to deny, who hunger for the blessings of God. Can that be possible? Yes. I know a lot of people that hunger for the love of a father that never received the love of the father. I know people who have been rejected by their mother and never received the love of the mother, and they crave a love for their father and a love for their mother. But inside of them, it affects them so bad. Let me tell you what, you cannot afford to be affected in your spirit. Because everything that you want to happen seems to go terribly wrong because you didn't get the natural, you cannot accept the spiritual. You've got to lay the natural down and give it to God and say, God, whatever you have for my life, whatever you have for the word of God that is true to my life, I want everything that you have for my life and my spirit. Can I get an amen on that one? The blessing continued to the New Testament with a Jewish rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth. As he sat on the rock by the Sea of Galilee, not only was he a rabbi, he was also Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ revealed to the multitude the foundational principle of our faith through what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount, which includes 8 prophetic blessings known as the Beatitudes. When you read the Beatitudes, you're reading prophetic blessings. In Scripture, the number 8 represents a new beginning. Circumstances on the 8th day is a supernatural prophecy of renewed that comes through the entrance into God's covenant with the land of Israel. And when you look at the Old Testament and read the Scriptures, when God closed the door on the ark, there was 8 people aboard. They were the new beginning of mankind. The 8 prophetic blessings of Jesus and the attitudes represent a new beginning in what would time be called Christianity. What you are part of this morning is a new beginning, is a new happening. And it was a sounding wind, as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. What was happening was a new beginning. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's a new beginning in your life. It's a prophetic blessing to you. It is something God said, I will give to you, mankind. I will give them myself. I will give them my relationship. I will give them my name. I will give them the power. I'm going to say this again. Greater things than these will you do. Come on, New Testament church. Come on, church, with the prophetic blessings. I'm not negating what Brother Fugate said. There's times you're praying, you're praying, you're praying. But let me tell you what, you need to tell the devil, I am blessed. Yeah. I don't have to fight with you. I'm God's child. Right. This is holy ground. This is sacred ground. I've anointed my house with oil, and that house, that oil, represents the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody. Time you tell that devil, you do not belong here, my life, my family, because prophetically, God said, God said, God said, God said. God said, it is written. He told the devil, it is written. It's prophetic. It's true. I spoke it. It's impossible. Oh, let's love it again. Let's love the power of the Holy Ghost at this place this morning. Can I tell you prophetically, God can resurrect your dead marriage? Bring your supernatural joy back. Provide you peace of mind. Create a beauty and a healthy self-esteem. And help establish the unshakable foundation to endure life through the greatest storms that ever try to come to blow into your life or your family. And from time to time, Jesus paused from teaching in the multitudes to bless the children. Gospel of Mark records, he took them up in his arms, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. What did he say? What? Rabbis, the Jewish fathers, have been saying for thousands of years. You'll find it written down as a prophetic thing in Numbers of the Old Testament, chapter 6, verse 25 through 26. It says, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Maybe we need to take a wayward child and say, child, I've got a word to say to you. Maybe you need to lay your hands on that child. You see, when the child is growing up, huh? It makes no difference. Ooh, let them know that God's face shines upon them. Not because of the way they're living, not because of what they've done, it's because there's a prophetic blessing. If they turn their hearts toward God, God will turn his heart towards them. God will give them restored blessing in their life. Yes. Come on, Apostolic Church. Come on, Apostolic Church. Come on. If you're going to be apostolic on Monday. Don't come and get your Sunday fix. Come on, walk and live it. Turn your city upside down. Isaac's blessing over Jacob, which included the inheritance of the land, had three components to it. The first was the promise of prosperity. The second was the promise of dominion. And the third and the final component of Isaac's proclamation of Jacob was his destination between the blessing and the curse first set forth by God in Genesis 12. History has recorded God's judgment over the nations that have caused the Jewish people harm. If you're still alive long enough and the rapture of the church doesn't take place soon, you're going to see God's judgment on parts of the world that you've never seen anything like it before in your life. The power. People may think they have power. I got power to make my own decisions. No, you don't. No, you don't. You have what you have because God gave it to you or allowed you to have it. He can allow you to have a nasty spirit and a nasty attitude. He can allow you to have a good attitude and a good spirit. When you think that I'm my own man, my own woman, I can do as I please, do however I want to do it, any way I want to do it, God will let you do that. But don't cry when things go wrong. No power on earth, no presidential election or United Nations resolution can ever change the power of the prophetic blessing. Now, for some of you that are thinking that you are not worthy of God's blessings, or maybe your children not worthy of God's blessing, at the same time, Jesus spoke this blessing over the disciples, that they were saturated. They were saturated with serious character flaws. If you got a child that's got some serious character flaws, you got a family member that's got serious character flaws, I'm not talking about your husband or your wife. If Jesus had hired a Jerusalem management firm to give him an evaluation of the emotional profiles of his 12 disciples at the time, he proclaimed the blessing over their lives, it would have read as follows. Dear Jesus of Nazareth, thank you for entrusting our firm to perform the psychological profiles on the disciples you have selected to lead your ministry. After careful evaluation, we have come to the following conclusion. Simon Peter exhibits tendencies. If incited, his behavior may culminate in fits of rage, inflicting harm on others. James and John are likely competitive and self-centered and will most likely attempt to a hostile takeover of your organization. Thomas is self-doubting, uncertain, and lacks confidence, while Matthew has been barred from the Merchant Men's Fellowship of Greater Jerusalem. He was a tax collector, you know. Upon close examination, have determined that if you do not reconsider these choices, your ministerial vision to evangelize the world will not succeed. Can I tell you this morning? Can I tell this church this morning? Can I tell you personally, individually? Despite these flaws, Jesus looked at his 12 ragged, uneducated, and imperfect followers and spoke this blessing. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Turn to somebody and say, you're salt. Tell them you're an old salty. Come on. Now turn to them and say, you're a light. I don't care how many imperfected flaws that you have, you're still the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Oh, come on, somebody needs to praise him. Come on, church, you need to worship him. These men received Christ's blessing in faith and acted upon it. Can I tell this congregation, you are blessed with a prophetic blessing. You need to act upon it. Some of you did last night. There's got to be a hunger. There's got to be a hunger in your soul. You cannot expect a pastor to create it and do it by himself. Unless you grasp the vision, unless you grasp the fire, unless you personally understand that you're a blessed person. Come on. Prophetic blessings. The supernatural prophetic blessing is invoked by speaking aloud. And once the blessings have been spoken, it cannot be rescinded. Cannot be rescinded. If you lay your hand upon your child and say, I bless thee and the Lord bless thee, and may his countenance shine upon your life, you pronounce a blessing on that child. Let me tell you what, no matter what that child may be looking at, as far as the world is concerned, the blessing is there. And if you got a child this morning that has gone wayward, is not walking in the truth, is not doing all that it needs to be doing, but all it knows to be doing, I want you to rest assured there is a blessing that cannot be rescinded. Come on, somebody needs to grab a hold of that. Grab a hold of your child. Grab a hold of your husband that's living for God, not living for God. Grab that wife that's not living for God. Come on, it's just not a building full of people on Sunday morning. It is the body of Christ that's received a prophetic blessing. It's the glorious people of God who bears the name. When I prayed this morning, I prayed, God, bless your people that are called by your name. That was worldwide. If you was in Africa, you was in Asia, in China, anybody that baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You cannot find anywhere in the Bible where people was ever baptized in any other authority except the name of Jesus Christ. No one was ever baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not one. You cannot find it in the Bible. You can find it to be baptized in the name of the Lord. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You going to have problems tomorrow? Oh, yeah. But I'm blessed. You going to need a better paying job? Oh, yeah. But I'm blessed. He'll never see the righteous begging for bread. Do I see 1,000 saved? Yeah. Do I see the ministerial team baptizing in the lakes? Do I see people being baptized in their home in bathtubs? When we was living in Germany, I can't tell you the amount of people I baptized in bathtubs. A multitude of them I baptized. Some I had to scorch up a little bit, you know, like in a fetal position, but I got them out of the water. No, I didn't turn the shower on and baptize them. I immersed them in the water. Just like the Bible says. And if you've got an intent and a love for God in your heart and your spirit, many of them, if not, I don't know how many went back on the Lord, but I can tell you there's many of them because I have been in contact with some that has never, never went back on God. It starts in here. You've got to know that you're blessed. I said, you got to know. You don't walk around trying to convince. I don't know if I'm blessed or I'm not blessed. It seems like I'm more cursed than anything else. Things will go wrong all the time. Out of your mouth is what? Life and death. I am a blessed person. Your neighbor needs to hear that again. Tell him you're a blessed person. Tell him again. Come on, you're leaving this guy here out. He needs to know that. You haven't told him. Once the blessing has been spoken, it cannot be rescinded. When God Almighty, King of the universe, places His blessing upon you, no person on earth can take it from you. The callings of God are without repentance. A lot of people use that as far as ministry gifts. But you can't come to God without Him first calling you. How'd you get in the kingdom of God? God called me. Well, the calling and the gifts of God are without repentance. No person on earth can take it from you. No power in the universe can eliminate it from your life. Cannot eliminate it from your life. I'm blessed. My children are blessed. I bless them. And you can't take it away. Next time you're in prayer, you remind that devil. Devil, if you're listening to my prayer, I'm telling you, my children were dedicated to the Lord. They're blessed. Take your filthy, dirty, sinful hands off of their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. Come on. Let's stand together. Would you do that? Now, don't you walk out of this building this morning and start complaining. And if you're blessed by God, you have some things that He entitled you with. He entitled you with a positive spirit and a positive attitude. I said He entitled you with a positive spirit and a positive attitude. Amen. I hope you don't think playing golf is sinful. I play a lousy golf, a game of golf. But I tell you this, just recently, I played lousy all day long. But on the last shot, on the 18th hole, over a big pond of water and reeds standing up tall, I stood over that ball. And I looked at that. I took my mind off of being lousy. And I pulled it back slowly. And I released it. And the ball went up in the air. It went over that pond of water. And landed about 2 feet from the flag. Some of you have been playing a lousy life. You haven't gotten the swing of it yet. Let me tell you what counts. It's that last hole of life. It's the last part of living. If you can get over your life and your problems and your sadness and your fear and your soul forlornness and depression. Come on. I'm blessed. My life is going to land right next to the flag. It's going to land right next to Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on, life is not over with yet. Because you're blessed. Because you've had a lousy game all your life doesn't mean you'll wind up lousy. Because of the prophetic blessing that said, I've blessed you, I'm going to take care of you, and they that call upon my name, I will hear them. Let's lift our hands again one more time. Let's live in. Let's look. Come on. Come on. Somebody realize you're blessed. A prophetic blessing. You're a winner. You're going to win. You're going to overcome. You're going to be victorious. You're going to have joy in your spirit. You're going to have joy in your life.